All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have some MLB and WNBA action coming up with also some late night tennis as well. So I know we have some tennis fans in the chat for sure. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up. Do have a number of questions in the queue for today, so we will start there and then kind of see where it takes us. So first question today, just working top down. I'm noticing a lot of the time the optimal showdown lineups are actually -10 to -40% ROI. I've gotten so confused about what metric do I use to rank lineups. Have not had good luck with the diversifier. Good question. Why don't we go and just like look at some lineups from yesterday? I think that's like a good place to start here. So we go back to yesterday. And we go to the showdown. All right, so let's go look at just like flagship contests last night. And we'll let this load. All right, so I think, you know, one thing to keep in mind, one thing that I find important to mention is that, you know, it is like really hard to build, almost impossible, but I can be wrong, to build 100% all positive ROI lineups. I know in the pre-contest sim, like they're all positive, but the post-contest sim is like really the true test for your lineups. Right, I found that it is better to look at a user level sim ROI rather than look at every lineup individually, right? So like, you know, the winning lineup last night happens to be positive sim ROI. It can definitely be negative sim ROI. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, that never happens just because like it happened this one time where it's like positive. I'm sure negative sim ROI lineups win. And, you know, just because like a lineup is negative sim ROI, you know, that doesn't mean like it never wins, right? Say it's like negative 10%, negative 20%. Well, if it never won, even if it never cashed, right, it would be negative 100% sim ROI. But because it cashes, because it wins some amount of the time, right? That lineup will have a lower negative score, right? Negative 20, negative 10, right? As it approaches being neutral. So not to say negative ROI lineups don't win, they do. But I think a better kind of test here would be, is the user who entered that negative ROI lineup, are they building a strong portfolio overall? Right? Because sometimes what you'll see, like, say this was negative, okay? Well, maybe I want to look at one of these players, and I'm looking for one that I might think is, like, 150 maxing. Hacksaw E11, this is a SaberSim user, won a Millie Maker last year. Okay, let's see if I can find him. Hacksaw. All right, so, Hacksaw here, right? 150 maxing this contest. This number, I think, is more important, right? What was his overall sim ROI? not one out of 150 lineups, right? I think that is like a really important part of all this is like, what is the user level sim ROI? So I would focus on those values over looking at like one particular lineup that they played. And then here, right, I can get rid of this username filter. If I can, not sure here. All right, there we go. All right, let's get rid of the username filter. And, you know, he entered 150 lineups, right? Okay, well, let's look at people who 150 max this. And then let's sort by sim ROI. And, you know, he was around like 27%, right? Not a terrible number to be at. Could be a little bit higher, right? Like we look at some of the characteristics here. Like, okay, dupes are like a little high, 26. You know, some of these other sets, like 9, 8, 15. There are some users who had higher dupes, but notice their sim average scores are a lot higher, right? 95, 96, and his sim average score was like around a 92. So there's always like a, I always talk about like a scale here, right? You could play lower projection if you have lower dupes. You could play higher dupes if you have a higher projection, right? It's kind of like a kind of like a line, really, right? I was talking to somebody about this. This is what I see like in flashback all the time. You know, people can tell me I'm wrong or people can tell me like they disagree, right? But like if we just bring up, and like this is kind of a tangent, but I think this is like a good conversation to have. Let's shrink this a little bit. We don't need this much. So from what I could tell, right, sim ROI kind of follows like this trend. Where they were like this. Okay. And then on this side, we have projection. And then down here, we have like dupes. Now, these two things seem to like scale like linearly like this. And I think a good example, right, is right here. I could see it. Views from here and Mr. Wonka Man. Similar sim ROI, right? 22% versus 22.14% sim ROI. But they played very different styles. Wonka Man played average dupes 3, 40 uniques, 89 sim average score, just rounding. Views played 23 average dupes, only 7 uniques, and a 92.5 sim average score, right? So you can play, this is like what I mean, you can play lower projected lineups, right? Just bringing this back. Like, yes, you can play lower projected lineups, but they have to have lower dupes. Or you can play higher dupe lineups, but the projection has to come along with it. It's where people have like one or the other, which is like where they struggle, right? If we like go and like find somebody like this who had like a bad sim ROI. Like, okay, like here are a couple users, right? Like, hey, they had 30 average dupes, but they also had a low sim average score. Like you cannot have a double like negative here, right? That's what's leading to like negative 37% sim ROI, right? Their average dupes are high where that 92 person was, but then their sim average score is where the person with 3 average dupes was, right? Like that's not gonna work there. So these are things like I would recommend just kind of like keeping in mind here with regard to like flashback and studying. Portfolio diversifier is still going to be it. Like I was talking to somebody about this too. Let's see if I can like draw this. Don't save. So like if I had to like rank our sorting metrics, right? It basically goes portfolio plus is the best, like greater than, and then followed by portfolio and then followed by SaberScore, right? Like we, SaberScore was the primary sorting metric on Starter, but then like through like the portfolio like project, we realized like, hey, you know, we can build something for Starter users that is better than SaberScore while still providing more value with the like portfolio plus to like our ultimate users, right? So this is like how I would grade it. I still think portfolio or portfolio plus are your best options. I do think you could do things though around those things, right? You could work on your duplication. You can work on your sim average score, right? There are ways to help your portfolio that go beyond just simply sorting and, you know, using filters or using geomean rules or using projection aggregate rules or like things like that, right? Okay. Like, okay, I'm trying to lower my dupes. Maybe I need a geomean filter or like a geomean rule. Maybe my sim average score is low. Maybe I need to, maybe I'm playing too low salary lineups or something along those lines, right? So like there's a bunch of different ways you can learn from this. You can figure out where you are, you know, on that spectrum we're talking about and figure out what you need to do in order to improve from there. All right. Good question there. Next question. Hi, in last night's showdown, I put 20 into the $1. It showed up as 30, 30 into the 25 cent, showed up as 34, and 40 into the 5 cent, showed up as 50. Not a big deal. The second time this happened, could I be doing something wrong? It never happened until Sunday main slate and last night's showdown. Thanks. It's really hard for me to tell, you know, right here, right now, when you see this, right? Like, hey, this isn't how many entries I have. Like first thing that you can really do to help us, right? Go to the top right, go to report a problem, say, hey, you know, this isn't my number of entries. It's getting it wrong. That'll go to our team with a bunch of other information about what's happening in your session behind the scenes. And then from there, we can like really dissect it, analyze what's going on, and then get down to the root of the problem. So that's always a better avenue than, you know, trying to like troubleshoot here on office hours. Is like something that requires, you know, kind of time and like focus work, right? So just a little bit of the wrong format for those type of questions. All right. What do you think about this? This one from yesterday, I think I missed it. My bad. I did respond to the user in Discord. So they got an answer prior to last night's showdown, but did want to touch on it because I thought it was a good question. So what do you think about this? I'm checking players from both teams, then checking players I want from both teams, and then letting SaberSim do its thing. So I think this is okay. You know, basically what you're doing is you're handcrafting a player pool, right? You're like, hey, you know, I want to be very intentional with the players in my pool, and I'm just going to kind of build it from the ground up. Rather than unchecking them, they're just saying, let me start from nobody and then check them all in. Right. I think this, you know, really comes down to like, what players do you not want to see no matter what? You're like, hey, no matter what, I do not want to play X, Y, and Z player. You're like, hey, if you feel that strongly about it, then yes, you should uncheck them. Like if you look at your phone mid slate and you see a player in your lineups, and you're like, why are they in there? I would have never played them. It is better to just uncheck them up front so you never have to find yourself in that scenario, right? So I think, you know, telling SaberSim which players you're okay with and then letting it do its thing from there is a way of having some control, but then letting the builder kind of get you the rest of the way home. All right, Andrew, by chance, can you go over the process of viewing the lineup slash exposures for a certain lineup group? Yeah, absolutely. So let's get out of this showdown and flashback from yesterday. And looks like we're going to go to today's MLB slate. All right, so let's just build some lineups and we'll build like 1500. Cool. Let's let this build run. All right. Build almost finished here. Okay, so in order to do this example correctly, we're going to need two groups, right? So let's say I'm playing, you know, a 150 max, and then let's say I'm also playing like a 20 max, right? Okay, well, you know, maybe I want to, you know, see which players are in my 20 max basically first, or like be a little bit more intentional with them, right? Or something along those lines. So I'm going to run the diversifier here. Now it's sim finished. All right. So I got my lineups in to my groups, right? Now, after this part, let's say I want to look at just my 20 max, right? Okay, well, what I would do is click on the name of this group. You're going to get a green highlight around that group, okay? Now it's showing only the exposures for this group. Another way you could tell it's doing that is that the number of lineups change, right? So 60% is 12 out of 20 here. So that part I can tell is correct. Now, if I wanted to get out of this, right, I would click on it again, and then it goes away. What you see when this is off, somebody was asking me this actually the other day, this is your total portfolio exposure. So if you click into a group, it shows just that group. When you are unclicked from a group, it is showing the total lineup exposure across all of your entries here. So that's how you do that. You can also open this up, right? Okay, I can see the lineups. If I don't like the row format, I go into my settings. I turn off this use compact lineup view toggle, right? Turn that off. Okay, I get the expanded lineups like people are probably used to seeing here. So you have a couple different options, but that is basically the main things there. One thing to note is that if I click into this group, I cannot change the exposures for only this group, okay? I cannot come in here and say, okay, well, I want Altuve at, you know, 40% for my 20 max, and then maybe 30% for my 150. Unfortunately, exposures, the way exposures work is when you set it, it gets sent to all groups. There is one exception, is that let's say I like my exposures for the 20 max, but maybe I don't like them for the 150. Okay, well, if I lock this group and it turns red, and then let's say I click out of it, and then now I make exposure adjustments, it will not affect the 20 max at that point. These 20 max lineups are effectively locked in. And now the only thing that's happening is any exposures that we set are going to the 150. They're technically being sent to the 20 max too, but they're being over, there's like the lock takes priority over the new exposures that are sent. So that's one thing to keep in mind with regard to like changing lineups. If you like these, you can lock it, or maybe it's like a single entry, right? You like it, but then you want to send exposures to like some bigger contest or something like that. I can see a couple different use cases, but just keep in mind the locking is an option. All right, next question. Andrew on Showdowns regarding filtering lineups out by geomean. It's my understanding that you can get away with a geomean being higher on low-owned captains. If that is correct, what is the best way to separate the projected low-owned versus projected high-owned captains so that I can allow different geomeans for each? Okay, so I am not like 100% confident. That's true. I don't know for sure. It's not a concept that has been explicitly explained to me. I think like you just take the player at the ownership. I could understand where like the thinking comes from, because maybe it has something to do with like salary or something like that. But I have never heard to treat captains different from other players, because it is still one out of your six slots, and then they still have an ownership projection. So they just get accounted for as part of the formula. So I would probably recommend against thinking that way. And on like a similar note, I don't think we have any way to do that, because we don't think that's a good assumption to make. So I'd be happy to talk about it further and like hear the reasoning behind this and stuff like that, and kind of go from there. I'm definitely, you know, open to changing my thoughts and views here. But as far as I know right now, you cannot say like, if captain below 5%, allow for geo mean over 25, and if captain above 10%, above 5%, use geo mean below 5%, or geo mean below 25, for instance, right? It sounds like that's kind of the rule that you're looking for. I'm like pretty positive that doesn't exist. The way like our filters are and stuff are set up, that would require like some upgrades. But I would be interested in hearing more about that. So feel free to ping me in office hours. All right, Brian said, what should we put our correlation and sim diversity sliders at? Good question. So we put them automatically to the values that test out the best in our back testing. So like if the sliders are at 10.7, but the best sliders were really 10.9, you know, we wouldn't make people ask, what are the best sliders? We like, our job is to just put the best sliders for you, right? And skip kind of the Q&A and get right to what you want, right? Which is like having the best sliders. So we do like back testing projects where we figure out which slider settings perform the best on different slate sizes, right? That's why we have 0-10 sliders for showdowns. That's why we have 10-7 sliders for, you know, 10 plus games. That's why we have, I don't know, 6-8 sliders for 5-game slates, right? It kind of varies. It's all dependent on the slate size. So all of our slider back testing goes around slate sizing. We put them at the best values we believe. If you want to adjust them, that's like totally up to you. The only times I would adjust them is like if you're not seeing stuff you want to see. Like, hey, maybe you want higher or like bigger stacks in NFL, right? Maybe SaberSim's building QB plus ones with a run back, but you really want like some QB plus threes. Like, okay, like that seems like a good reason to increase the correlation slider. Pretty sure NFL sliders are 6-7 by default. Maybe you bump it up to 7, run a build. Maybe you bump it up to 8, run a build. 9, run a build, right? You can test it out at different levels to get the impact that you're actually looking for. So that's what I would be that would be like the only time I would be actively changing them, is for like some specific reason I'm not seeing something in my lineups that I want. But outside of that, not a ton of reason to change it. All right. Next question. Sorry, my pre-contest build slash sim, the optimal lineup last night shows as negative 17% on mine. Oh, okay. So this question was a little bit more about pre-contest sim. You know, honestly, I think this is just like something that happens sometimes. I think that this is okay. So there's like a little bit of good luck and a little bit of bad luck happening simultaneously. Okay. So even on a showdown slate, there are, you know, tens of thousands of viable lineups, probably hundreds of thousands of lineups that like you can actually build, right? Maybe higher. You know, even if you have 5,000 lineups, right? That is still only like a subset of like all of the lineups that you can build. So part one is, you know, the good luck is like, hey, you actually had the optimal lineup in your build. And unfortunately, the bad luck is that, you know, it showed up as negative sim ROI and it didn't make it into your lineups, right? This kind of, the, you know, glass half full kind of like perspective, right? Like, hey, it's good here, right? That you got the optimal in your set, but it sucks that it didn't make its way into your lineups, right? I don't think there's a ton you can do about that. I think it's good that you're building strong lineups, right? Winning lineups in your pool. I don't want to tell you, oh yeah, you know, start like allowing negative sim ROI lineups into your build. Go and sort by some less than what we believe is like less than your best sorting metric, because that lineup would have made its way into your contest on that one night if you had done so, right? Like going back to like what I showed earlier, it's like Portfolio Plus, Portfolio Saber Score. You know, I'm not going to send you five sorting metrics down the list just because you would have fell into having the winner in your contest. I don't think that's accurate, because what happens next, Lee, right? Does it mean you're going to get it again? Like, there's nothing that says it's like a guarantee that you will, right? So you should just continue to sort with the best metric and, you know, kind of go from there. But that's unfortunately, you know, a thing that happens from time to time here. So I will not advise you to switch up your sorting metric in this instance. All right. When I have, let's say, 350 lineups and 8 portfolios or like slash groups, and then I run lineups and then I run the sims, it understands what size contests I'm in when I'm putting lineups into my portfolio, right? So yes, it does. And then it also understands, you know, how much entry fees you have, what the potential prizes in your contest are. And that all gets weighed into it as well, right? Like, let's imagine like an extreme scenario where somebody is maxing out, you know, the Millie Maker on like a Sunday, right? Say it's like 3,000, but then they also have access to low stakes contests. And they're also playing like the quarter jukebox, right? They're playing everything from like the top down or like from the bottom up, right? Up to the Millie Maker. At that point, the quarter jukebox matters so little to the portfolio that you might see lineups where like maybe they're really correlated to your 150 max in the big one. And it's like, well, why are they so correlated between these two groups? It's like, well, because, you know, $5 in entry fees is, you know, a tiny, tiny percentage of your overall entry fees on the slate. And even if you win first, but you tank in this other contest, you know, it's not going to help you. You're still going to end up negative if you win the quarter jukebox and it's, you know, 1,000 to first, but you brick most of your entries on the main. You know, you lose like 50% on like the flagship, you know, say you lose negative 1500, you know, you're still down. Right. So I think that, that's like a good example where like the builder understands those differences. It's accounting for them. Maybe those lineups end up being correlated because the $5 in entry fees isn't going to move the needle like very much at all, but winning an extra like $1,000 can like be helpful. Right. So, maybe they play closer together. Like, I don't know if that happens, but like, that's just an example I'm trying to use to talk about differences in like contest sizing, entry fee, value to the portfolio, all those type of things. All right. Next question. Where do you get the option for Portfolio Plus? Portfolio Plus is on the Ultimate subscription. So the difference between Portfolio and Portfolio Plus. So Portfolio Plus uses all of your actual contests and the exact payout structures, exact contest sizing, and it runs sims for those specific contests. What Portfolio does, it runs one simplified contest sim behind the scenes and then uses that for all of your entries. So the Portfolio option isn't taking into account like, hey, this is a $1 entry versus like a $3 entry or stuff like that. It's running the same sim for all of them. So it's not using that exact contest data. That's like the big difference between the two. Renegade State, hi, Andrew. Are you still doing the Builder View show? I don't do it as an actual show anymore, but if you're interested in a build review, you could just email us, support@sabersim.com. Just say, hey, I was hoping to have one of the coaches check out my lineups from, you know, Monday, September 22nd for the NFL showdown. And then one of our coaches will get back to you with a build review. All right, next question. Are the Ship It Nation Saber packages with Saber Sim up to 5,000 lineups the same, the exact same as just the Saber package, or is there stuff offered for only Saber package that isn't in the Ship It package? Okay, good question. So the 5,000 lineup Saber package will have, or let me say that again. The 5,000 lineup Ship It package will have all the stuff included in the Saber package plus whatever Ship It offers with it. I don't know everything about their product offerings, but I do know that will include what is offered with Saber plus what is offered with Ship It. Now, the only thing that comes to mind between what is not offered with Ship It that you get through Saber directly is you get access to our beta site. So like any new things that we're testing, new features, new tools, those always get tested by our ultimate users first before going like product wide. And that could be, you know, potentially months of testing. So you don't get those early access features because those don't go to partners. Those only go to Saber Sim subscribers. That's the only thing I can think of kind of off the top of my head. And then before we move on to Daryl's question here, we'll just keep finishing this one. So how much is the difference in the package to get Portfolio Plus? Depends where you're looking. I don't know like what Ship It offers it for. I know you asked about Ship It. So you'd have to check out their pricing page. The Saber Sim pricing page is $297 for Ultimate and $97 for Starter where you have Portfolio. So anytime you want to check it out, just go to pull it up. So this sabersim.com/pricing page, it lays out the plans and then it lays out the differences and what features come with which one. Big one here is 500 lineups versus 5,000 lineups, the Portfolio Plus and the contest sims, the live projections and all of the live simulations is a big one for like re-optimizing your contests. So that all gets included with the Ultimate. I am very positive that Ship It offers a version of our Ultimate subscription. Better to just ask them directly. Like I said, I'm not like an expert on their product. So if you reach out to their support team, though, I'm sure they'll be able to break it down for you and just like, hey, which of your offerings is equivalent to the Saber Sim Ultimate? And they'll be able to tell you that information for sure. All right. Daryl said, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but is there a correlation between winners and stacks in MLB? Is a 4-3 stack the best? And how can I set it up where I can have 50% of my lineups with a 4-3 stack? All right. Really quickly, Brian said, okay, they have a 320 a month, so I do have it. Thanks. It sounds like I probably have it. Okay. Yeah. If you have that one, that is like for sure the Portfolio Plus one. As long as you are uploading an entry file, you will see a little plus in this diversity column. So that's what you want to look out for. All right. So going back to this one, I'm going to assume this is a FanDuel specific question. Since on FanDuel, you can't play five stacks, right? So I think it is, you are more likely to see winning lineups be 4-3 stacks on FanDuel, simply because you can't. That is like a very common stack construction. Now you can actually see this, right? If you like come into, you go to FanDuel, you go to like the sport. Okay, let's go to like the main slate. So let's say I want to go and look at like the field lineups to see like what kind of constructions are like coming up the most, right? Okay, I go and open, say, like the flagship MME bucket. And then we'll let this load. So what I'm doing right now, right, is I'm looking at the lineups that our team is expecting the field to play, right? And I can go and I can look at what kind of lineups, stack-wise, we expect them to play. So it looks like we're expecting 4-4s to be the most popular at about 40% of lineups, 4-3s at 27%, 4-2s at 13%, okay? So really hammering the 4 stacks, which makes a lot of sense to me. Now, let's say I wanted to come in and force 4-3 stacks, right? Let's say I like 4-3 stacks. I want to play more of them. The easiest way to do that is to open up your build, go to the stack exposures, and then you can set a minimum exposure to a certain type of stack. So I come in, I go to 4-3s, I set a 50% minimum to them. Now when I build lineups, this is going to be an input that SaberSim honors when we are generating the lineups. We're like, hey, you know, I want to hit this number for this lineup construction, and it will do that for you. So I don't actually have like historical data on like if these are like the best, if these contests win the most often. I don't even think you could do this for FanDuel, because FanDuel, the reason we don't offer flashback for FanDuel is because FanDuel doesn't allow you to download their post contest data the same way DraftKings does. Like, you could actually solve like what stacks win the most for DraftKings if like you could process all the data, but on FanDuel you're guessing a little bit more just because they don't give you access to the same info. But this is how you would do that if you know you have some type of intuition that hey, 4-3s are the best stack to play. All right, next question. I have a question. I'm new to SaberSim. Welcome. I was wondering how the portfolio diversifier chooses certain lineups. For example, I was playing in a small contest, but also played in the Millie Maker last Sunday. Picked my best lineup in the small contest, but not the Millie Maker. Is there a way to control this? So this unfortunately happens, right? If we knew like what lineups were actually going to score the highest, you know, we would want to put them in like your best lineup or your most expensive contest or highest top prize contest, right? Unfortunately, you know, we can estimate as close as we can, but we can't always know exactly what's going to happen. If things like this bother you, right, there's a couple different things you could do. Like, one of them is simply not play the smaller contest, right? Like, hey, you know, if having a higher score in a smaller contest is going to just like drive you up the wall, then you probably shouldn't play that smaller contest so you never like find yourself in that scenario, right? Another thing that you could do is turn on this avoid duplicates across lineups toggle. This will make sure that if a lineup is used in one group, that it can be used in another group, right? So like, I wouldn't expect this, but like, let's say that, you know, for some reason you have two groups, right? And like, maybe you put like 20 lineups in like the smaller contest and like 10 lineups in like the Millie. Well, if these get filled top down, right? So if this top one took that lineup before it could get to the Millie, which was under it, well, then it's not going to be allowed to be used in that contest. So what you can do, right, you can turn this off. That way, if the lineup was used once and then it grades out well for the other contest, it can also be put into that one as well. Another consideration, you could consider playing the same lineups across both contests, right? So maybe instead of two groups, I put both contests in one group and then I play a certain number of lineups. So like if I had a 20 max and a 10 max, if I put them in one group, it would change to 30, right? But maybe I want to play 20 lineups total. Okay, then I change this to 20, 10 overlap, and at least I know that you know, I'm playing a smaller set and there's going to be overlap between the two. Follow up. If I didn't play that contest, would it have chosen it in the Millie Maker, or is that fairly random? I'd say it's fairly random. I don't think that if you didn't play it, it would have picked it versus like didn't pick it. I think that's just a little unlucky. All right. Really quickly, while we're on the MLB before we go back to NFL, I have 450 lineups today in MLB. Do you recommend me keeping the duplicate toggle off or on? Good question here. So I'll say this. If you're on starter and you're using portfolio, I would keep it on. If you are on ultimate and using portfolio plus, I think it's okay to keep it on. What I would do is I would turn it off. Now, the reason I would do that is because effectively every contest that you sim is a different sorting metric, right? Because you're portfolio plus, because you have you have all of your sims are going to run individually for all of your contests, right? Each ROI for each contest is a different sorting metric. You might have one lineup that grades out positive in one contest, negative in another, right? If I so happen to have a lineup that grades out well in two different sims, well, me personally, I'm okay playing it in both because it graded out well in those individual sims, right? It's not using one metric and applying it to three contests. It's using three metrics, and then it just so happened to grade out well in two and used it twice, right? For me, that's okay. So I like to leave it off when I'm using Portfolio Plus, but some people like to leave it on. It's okay either way, but that's just my preference. All right, next question. Can you show where the GeoMean is located for NFL Showdown? Yes, good question. Let's go back to yesterday. All right, so it's going to be different places depending on the plan you have. So if you're on starter, what you're going to want to do is create a rule that is a rule type aggregate, change my proj to my own, change sum to GeoMean, no more than X, right? You're going to have to come up with a number here. We have some videos on like how to do this. I've made some videos myself on how to do this. Basically, what you're going to do is pick a contest that you're playing, and then do a math problem. If you ask me in Discord, I can send you a video about this. But basically what you're going to do is you're going to pick a number of dupes to shoot for, say 20 dupes, divide it by the number of entries in your contest. Say you're playing a contest with 30,000 entries. And then you take it to the power of 1 divided by the number of players in the lineup, which in Showdown is 6. And then you get a number. We're here, it would be 29.5. So then in here, I'd put 29.5. We have videos on how to do this, so don't worry. You don't have to remember right now. I'm sure it's like a lot of math. And then you click save, right? It's how you do it on starter. On ultimate, I would recommend not doing the rule and instead doing a post-build filter. So we build some lineups, kick these off. This is a good question we can answer while these build. What is the best process for a beginner? From the time you open SaberSim and want to play an NFL slate, what would you tell them to change in any settings or do? We have two really good videos on how to do this, okay? Go to Saber School in the top left corner. Go to Saber System. These two videos, your 150 max playbook. This is like if you're MMEing, even if you're playing 220 maxes, 320 maxes, you're playing, you know, 10 single entries, right? This is going to just show you how to handle a number of lineups. Or if you're playing Showdown, check out the Showdown playbook. Okay, these cover Classic and Showdown for NFL. I would watch one or both if you're playing both styles and follow the process laid out by Jordan in these videos. That is the absolute best thing that you can do if you're a beginner and just getting started. It can definitely feel like information overload. You don't have to understand everything that you see here, and you don't have to tinker with stuff just because you can. Let SaberSim handle that for you and just follow the basics, and your knowledge will grow over time. You'll figure out what things to do and not to do. All right, so getting back to this, this build finished, right? Now, if I were going to do GeoMean in the post build, what I would do is open up this lineup pool. I get this sort option. I would go down to add metric. And then I would create a metric that looks like this. I renamed it GeoMean here, where it displays the GeoMean of every lineup in your set, okay? Now I can actually add this as a column, which is over here. If I want to drag it over, I can. Now that it is a lineup metric, I can filter by it, okay? So I come in here, And let's say I want to just use that 29.5 number, right, that we talked about. Okay, so let's get rid of some of these other ones. I come in here. Maybe I set up a filter for geo mean. And I say show lineups with my custom metric down here and remove the question. Greater than, I'm sorry, less than, and I use that 29.5 number. So this happened not to trash any lineups, which is okay, right? I can lower it and say, okay, well, what about 25? You know, I tried a smaller number. Okay, what if we try a smaller number? I'm shocked we don't have anything going in the trash. Oh, maybe it's because I'm not diversifying. Okay, so it took a very, very low geo mean here, but we finally got some lineups in the trash. You basically keep lowering it until you get some lineups in the trash here, but at least we know like the filter is working here. So that's how you set it up. Before we jump to the next question here, here's a good one. What does geo mean even mean? Good question. So geo mean is a form of product ownership. So like there's two types of ownership. There's some ownership and product ownership. Some ownership, you're like adding the sums together, right? So what I'm doing here, and I'll just pull it out so we can see the expanded view. So sum is what this column does. It adds up these values and then does a sum at the bottom, right? What product ownership does is multiplies all these values together. What geomean does is if you multiply a lot of percentages together, you get a very, very small number. What geomean is like kind of like a more usable number. So like, for instance, when we were doing the geomean, right? Like, let's go back a step. Let's multiply by... I do that? No. So we did like 20 divided by 30,000 to the power of 1 divided by 6. Okay. So the product would have been like the 20 divided by 30,000. This is effectively like the product. It says E force. Like what it actually is like 0.00006 or something like that, like a really, really small number. Geomean takes this number and then makes it like a little bit closer to like a workable number, which is like 29.5 if you move the decimal place over. So geomean and product are effectively the same, but there is a difference. There is more accuracy in predicting how many times a lineup is going to be played if you multiply ownerships together versus add them. So like, for instance, right, let's do a two-man lineup. Let's say you have a two-man lineup with 45% ownership. In one lineup, you have a 1% owned player and a 44% owned player. In the other lineup, you have a 22% owned player and a 23% owned player, right? Super simple example. Well, the one with the 44 and the one is less likely to be played by other people because it has this one rather than two double digit numbers. That's it's some same sum ownership, but different product ownership, which would imply this lineup would be less likely to be played. So you can use that to predict duplication in showdowns. All right, next question. When using the portfolio diversifier, if you keep that checked off, it might pull the best lineups for all the 150 maxes. Or do those grade out well based on the specific contest? So again, this kind of comes down to, we're going back to like the toggle, right? Of like the avoid duplicates all across lineup groups. What it's going to do is put the best lineups for the first, like if I have two groups, right? It's going to put the best 150 in the top. If it's on, it's going to remove those 150 from consideration, use whatever left in the pool, find the next best 150 for the second contest. if it is off, then it's going to use 150, and then it's going to continue to consider the entire pool when deciding which lineups to put into the second contest. So it's more a matter of, do you want these lineups to be removed, or do you want to allow them to be played again? Brian said, thanks. That was a question for anyone who needed it. I've been playing for a long time. Right on. All right. Is there any column that tells you the point per dollar for each player or the EV of a lineup? Okay. So the point per dollar is going to be this value column right here. This is my projection divided by salary times 1,000. Like when you build in optimizer mode and you're trying to pack as many projected points into a lineup, it is optimizing based on the player's value, like how much salary you're going to use for the points that you're going to get on the other side. A high value lineup is how you pack as much projection under the salary cap as possible. So that's the one for point per dollar. Patrick said, I saw a dupe option filter for a specific contest. Does that use the geo mean calculation? So no, it does not. Good question. So like if you run a sim, right, and then you come in and look at the sorting metrics and you see like this dupes one, right? So what dupes is doing when we build our field lineups, okay, which create our ownership projections, which is the my own column, these are the exposures of the players in our ownership build. So we run builds with certain parameters to get ownership projections. The exposures from that ownership build become the ownership projections. Now, in our ownership builds, there is a small caveat. Like when you run a build, we only allow a lineup to be put into the build one time. But in our ownership builds, we allow a lineup to be put into the pool more than one time. This represents people playing that lineup more than once. So a lineup in the ownership build might be played 10 times, might be played 20 times or more, right? The dupes is taking your lineups. When it runs the sim, it's seeing how many times it finds your lineup in the ownership build. So that is another way of estimating dupes. There are some small considerations with that. Like for NFL Showdown, I believe we only have 20,000 field lineups. You know, if you're playing contests that are 100,000, you know, more and stuff like that, it could get like a little weird with scaling the dupes, right? So like that's one consideration. GeoMean will take into account the size of your contest no matter what, because it's like the denominator value. So you can always account for it. So that's something to consider when using dupes versus GeoMean. All right. Vincent said, thanks, boss. You're welcome. Next question. How do I use SaberSim to build specifically for multipliers like triple ups and quintuple ups? Do I need to create templates for those contests? And if so, how should I set them up? Good question. So I think if you want to group those contests together, then yes, a template would be a great thing to do that. So you go to templates, you go to add new. What I would probably do is do create a lineup group for all, and then you can add a requirement. Now, there's a couple of different ways you could do this, right? You could do a name version. So say I do name includes triple and then and name includes and quintuple, right? And then now it would group them all together. There's other ways you could figure out to do this, right? Maybe it's like a certain number of entries or like a certain percent defers or like a certain cash percent, right? You can, there's like a lot of different options in this dropdown that you can use to figure that out. I find naming pretty easy, so I would use that. So that's probably the best way to group them together. Now, as far as building for them, I think it's going to depend. I would probably still use sim mode for like quintuple ups. Triple ups are like a little weird because they're like a little in between. You could try lower sliders, you know, just like chop the sliders in half. It was 6-7. I dropped it to 3-3. You could do 3-4. Right, you're going to need less upside in those contests, but you're still going to need more than a double up. So that's where it gets kind of weird. So I would probably experiment with like half sliders and a specific template for those contests for that type. So That would be my best advice there. All right. Patrick said, can you filter the specific group of lineups using GeoMeme? You can do it using multiple GeoMemes. So let's say this contest, I want to use a GeoMeme of 25. Okay. So then I would do a filter and I would say GeoMeme 25, right? And I would set it up. GeoMeme less than 25, save. And then it says GeoMeme 25. And then I go to the next one. And then I go down here, and then I go GeoMeme, you know, maybe 22, right? So then I would just have to have different filters. GeoMeme less than 22, save. So then now I've done 25 in one, 22 in another. So it'd just be a matter of setting up multiple filters. Patrick said, I don't see the GeoMeme dropdown on mine. I created it manually. If you missed it, go back a little bit, but basically, if you're on Ultimate, you can come into the lineup group drop down, create a custom metric down here, and then write one that looks like this. If you're on Starter, you could do a rule, which we covered as well, and how to do it. So you go to rule type aggregate, my own, GeoMeme, no more than X, right? So we kind of walk through those, but you have to create it first in order to filter by it is like the big thing there. All right. Nice long show today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Ton of questions today. A lot of good questions. As always, I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.